Let the earth bring forth. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 3 or verses 6 to 13 is the text for our consideration as we study to know God's revelation concerning man's origin. Where do we come from? How does this earth come about? Well, if God does not reveal to us, well, we wouldn't know. But God did. By His Word, He lovingly instructed us concerning how life came upon this universe, come about upon planet Earth. And we are thankful that Thou hast revealed Yourself to us and this world that Thou hast created for Thy own honor and for Thy own glory. When we begin this series, in the beginning, the Lord has led us to study and know concerning creation. How did we come about? How does this earth come about? And the Lord wants us to know and learn and understand so that we may be acquainted to the Lord's creative purpose for our existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When God created the vast universe, do you know that the focus was upon planet Earth? If you were to make a study and will you look around, you'd find that outside Earth, there is no life form, known life form. And as you look at the deepness of the vast universe and you compare with the liveliness of planet Earth, you would be able to see and understand why God gave Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That in the beginning, when time has not begun, God was there. And He was the self-existent one that initiated by His creative purpose, by His creative power, by the word of His instruction, this universe was brought into its existence. And so God wants us to learn concerning our origin. And He tells us that when He created the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, there was no life, there was no, our text says, no form. In other words, we said last week, no atomic structure. The earth was, as it is, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That was the beginning when God created. And then what did God do? God gave light. God said, let there be light. And the light shines through and penetrates through the darkness. And suddenly, well, you see the universe lighting itself up, because God said, let there be light. And verse 3 of our text says, and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. And we have studied and we have been spending time over the last two Lord's Day dwelling upon the purpose of God giving light. And today we are going to see a more interesting truth. concerning the giving of light, because from the giving of light, God began to shape this earth to become a most habitable place for the living creatures that He would place on this earth. And so you would see how God made that focus when He made the light. And you realize from what we saw last week that this light was very different from the light that God would create, right? The sun and the moon that is given to us later on that we saw in verse 14. You remember? We said, the Lord said in verse 14, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the nights or the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God gave the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. Well, God made the earth, the sun, the moon, by which we are able to mark time, right? We have our lunar calendar. In Chinese New Year, right, we follow the lunar calendar. And there is also the Gregorian calendar that the Romans follow by the orbit of the sun. And how they are so accurate, right? It allows us to be able to correctly mark time. But here, we want us to understand that before God made the sun, right, we all know that the sun is needed in order that the plants may be able to keep itself, right, nourish itself. Photosynthesis, we said. Right? You need the sun. And we too. Right? We need vitamin D. What is vitamin D? Sunlight. Right? To nourish our bodies. But here, today we want to see and understand God's creation on the third day. You see, when God brought forth the plants, and when God brought forth the fruit trees, God brought forth the grass, that was a time before He brought forth the sun and the moon. It's so interesting, isn't it? The lights that God gave on the first day was able to cause the life that He created on the third day to be sustained before He would make the sun and the moon. Ah, how powerful our God is, and how orderly He makes His creation. You would notice in verse 5 or verse 6 of our text, He says, after the first day, He says, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Now, what does this text tell us? Well, God created the atmosphere that we have, the atmosphere by which we are able to breathe. And how did God initially create this atmosphere? Well, He divided the waters. The waters that is above and the waters that is below. Now, you know that the plants that He will create will need the sustenance of water. And so you see the water supply was given, right? There was an envelope of water that was above the earth. In other words, the earth was covered with an envelope of water and above and below, and in between is the atmosphere. And this is what the Lord wants us to see. This is what the Lord wants us to learn in verse 6. Let there be a firmament, the atmosphere, in the midst of the waters, so that we are able to exist in this condition. If you go out of this atmosphere into outer space, human life cannot exist. Why? Well, we all know this atmosphere is special. It's a special environment that God has created whereby life can be sustained. And so the Lord wants us to see the creative order of His creation so as to be able to understand the reason for His creative purpose. Why did God create? What is the purpose of His doing all these things? Well, may I submit to you that He does all these things because He is a God that finds happiness in blessing His creation, in blessing us, in blessing others. When God created, was it anything for His own benefit? Well, His soul, by itself, by Himself, right, in the Godhead, blessed with the fullness of joy and peace, there is no lack in Him. But in out of the abundance of His love, of His mercy, He imparted life. He created. And the Lord would want us to see how before He even made man, that He created such an environment whereby we may exist, we may live. And so in verse 7 of our text tells us, He gives to us the atmosphere. And verse 8 says, this is, He called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So on the first day, God gave light. On the second day, He created the atmosphere by which is enveloped by two volumes of water that protects that environment. That's where God created on the second day. And verse 9 of our text says, God said, let the waters under the heaven to be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And so there was water above the atmosphere, and there was also water below, but there was no land. And so what did God do? Well, you know, you think logically, how can we exist in water? Well, except our Lord is with us, right? Peter walked on water. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked on water. But we know that the water that we know, right? When we come upon it, we will sink, except perhaps the Dead Sea water, right? Full of density. If you have been to the Dead Sea, you would be able to know that you are able to float there. The water density is so great, right, that so we were taught when you are there, you do this one, two, and then you'd be floating on all four. Literally lifted up because of the the heaviness of the water is able to sustain and hold your body. But for a habitat for man, you need land. And this is what the Lord did. Right? What did he do? In verse 9 of our text, it tells us that he gathered the waters that is under the earth so that dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And so you see the earth forming itself to become a habitable place with an atmosphere, with a land. We all know the preciousness of real estate, right? Real estate. We live in Singapore, very small real estate. And we have to build up high. How precious is land? Yeah. Well, God made land. God made land. And verse 10 of our text says, this was the third day. So we see how the waters were gathered. You see the land and the seas. And what did God do in verse 11? He says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. In other words, when God first created, the tree come first or the seed come first? Well, you see that God made the tree, right, with an appearance of age. God created the tree with a seed, with a fruit, with a seed inside. And we are so blessed of God, isn't it? Right here in the tropics, we have watermelon. Ah, the juicy watermelon with red in color, yellow in color. And then we have so many other types of fruit. The durian, the apple, the orange, the jackfruit, the mango. Ah, as we think of all the fruits that God has made, the papaya, ah, our mouth starts to water. How nourishing. The banana. Every fruit or different fruit for different purpose to nourish the body in a different way. We have one of our elderly folks who has a pain in her knee and unable to fully walk. And so she read in the newspaper, and the newspaper says that there is such a plant that is able to, that produces its fruit, that is able to alleviate the pain that is on the knees. And so by that natural fruit that she was able to partake, right, the pain was eased. It was a natural painkiller. It strengthened the knees. She was able to be healed. Wow! How wonderful it is. As we look at this creative world, as we look at what God has created for us, don't you think we are very privileged? In different seasons, you have different types of fruits. And here it tells us, right, that God brought forth grass. Right. The other day we were looking at the TV, and there was a buffalo, huge buffalo. And the comment that was given, how did that buffalo become so big? What does the buffalo eat? Well, eat grass. What does the cow eat? They eat the grass. What, you mean the grass is so nourishing? Ah, the sheep eats the pasture, the grass that was so lushly brought forth, that God gave. Ah, interesting, isn't it? And you know, before the fall, in the beginning, man is herbivorous. We are not. We do not partake of meat. Before then, and we thank the Lord so much of His creation was brought forth for our enjoyment. And that's why we memorize verse 29 of Genesis chapter 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord says to us, I have given you every herb bearing seed." Herb, the herb tree, how it's able to heal. Different types of herb that comes from different plants has different purpose to help the human body. God knows. And that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So, where do we eat? When we take our next fruit, may we not forget our gracious Creator who has created and sustained this world, that we may be nourished, that there may be meat for us. Ah, so each time, you know, you would partake of your meal, all that God has placed before you upon your table, let us not forget our Creator. How wonderfully good He is to make all things for us. And this is what He is bringing us to understand. This is what He brings us to see. You see, over the last 400 years, the thoughts of men has gone, what we said, haywire. Gone, we said, cuckoo. In the sense that, you know, out of proportion, men's mind has been led so much astray that he even would say that he is evolved from a monkey. That, you know, we shed off our tail and this is who we are today. Well, if you look carefully, if you think carefully, and if you examine the monkey from the man, very different. God has placed in man a moral attribute. God has also placed in man an ability to appreciate His created world. Right? We are the only one that can look at a peacock and say, wow, so beautiful. We can look at the mountain and say, wow, so beautiful. We can look at the creation and appreciate. Why? Because we are made in the image of God. We are special. We are not a part of the created, or we are not a part of the beings, right? The animals that were created for the enjoyment, for the dominion of men. And so the Lord wants us to know, as we think of His creative act, His wonderful love and care for us. Right. So we said, when God made the universe, the earth was the focus. And when God made the earth, man was the focus. And so He placed the land there, and then He began to cause the land to flourish itself. The grassland came. God gave different herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit. How wonderful it is that God created all of this. And so, you know, fruit trees are not the end of products of a billion years of evolutionary development. No. God created 2 days before any marine life would appear. Wow, how interesting, how important it is that we would understand, right, the creative account and the purpose, how God places us upon this universe, that we are placed here in order that we may enjoy this paradise that God would create for our enjoyment. And so this is the purpose of God's creation, that He wants to fellowship with men. We are the only one that is made in the image of God. And so as we look at creation, as we look at how God causes all the fruit yielding trees to come into existence, we must not forget our Creator. The psalmist says in Psalm 136, verse 5 and 6, "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever." The psalmist could understand, as he surveys the acts of God's creation, what God is doing. His mercy, so that men, we, could be placed there to inhabit this land. And Job says in Job 28, verse 5, "As for the earth, out of it cometh bread." And isn't it so true? The psalmist says, "Who covereth the heavens with clouds? Who prepared rain for the earth? Who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains?" So that is the reason, right? Before God would make the green lands, the highlands and the lowlands, that God made the waters that is above and the waters that is beneath, and it would nourish this, the creation that He had made. And He, now we said that he made this grass on the third day. What is the purpose? Well, the psalmist says in Psalm 104 and verse 14 to 17, he says, "He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of men, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that make glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Oh, you know, God created all these things. It's for us. For us. And the Lord wants us to know that He is there, superintending over His creation, caring for us. So as you study the creative account, as you look at how God populate this earth with green grass, it must cause us to think and learn and be acquainted, right, with the knowledge of the creative purpose of God. What is the purpose? It's to care for us. Is to nourish us, right? Yeah. And how did God manifest Himself from His creative acts for us to know Him? Well, in the fullness of time, He sent forth His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, right? Jesus was born in the land of Israel 2,000 years ago. And how do we know that He is God? You remember He sets the 5,000 that were with Him, how He asked them to sit down besides women and children, and how much food does He have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And what did He do? Well, He peeled the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, was able to feed how many? 5,000. And another instance, 7,000, besides women and children. How did, you know, to make bread, well, you need to get your wheat first. Then you need to process your wheat, right? A lot of things go in the in-between, right, before you get your bread. And your fish, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How is He able to multiply fish, right? The fish meat. In order to give you that meat, first you have to go and catch the fish from the sea. And you have to harness it. Right? Then you have to dry it, you have to wash it, you have to clean it. You have to bake it. You have to fry it. Ah, in the fullness of time, our Creator manifests Himself to us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And God wants us to know Him. We cannot see God, but God manifests Himself to us. How does God manifest Himself to us? Do you know? Three ways. Firstly, through His creation. Right? As we have studied today, the Lord wants us to know Him through nature, or what man calls nature. This beautiful environment that He makes for us. And secondly, through His Word. Right? God reveals to us 1500 BC, when Moses was at Mount Sinai, what did God do? God revealed to Moses and asked him to write down for posterity where we come from. And God wants us to know. And if we have known it, does it not bring comfort to your heart to know that, you know, our God, whom we cannot see, cares for us so much? And the third, He manifests Himself through His Son, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. How He was able to make bread out of a little bread, make fish out of a few fishes, and how He was able to turn water to wine. Right? Water is very different from wine. He was there at the wedding. And how do you bless the occasion of the wedding? Well, He brought on the wine to nourish all the guests that were there so that this marriage can be enjoyed, celebrated. Our Lord was there, and the Lord wants us to know Him, to know His creative purpose, and to know His redemptive purpose. Why did God show us all these things? To help us to see, right, that we have a God who cares for us, who loves us. And His creative purpose was for our benefit. And so, you know, the next time, before you would partake your meal, is it not important that we would utter a prayer of thanksgiving to God? Do you do that? Before you would eat your meal, do you utter a prayer to God to say, Lord, thank you for this meal that you have placed before me? I know it is from you. You have created all this for my nourishment, right? So the hungry stomach can be filled. And God wants to fill not only the hungry physical body, but the spiritual body that is in you, your soul. With His Word, you know that to know His care for you, to know His love for you, so that you may be strengthened to know the purpose of your existence here, right? To enjoy your fellowship with God. And that is why He allows us to come, right, every Lord's Day, that He instructed us that His people may be gathered together to remember His goodness, to remember all that He has done for you. And the Lord wants us, right, as we study this creative account of Genesis, right, to know what a good God we serve, what a gracious God we serve. And may it cause us, right, to be thankful. May it cause us to love Him. May it cause us to serve Him, to share, right, the knowledge of His goodness to the people around us. We have a new week ahead, and we have printed the new tracts. And we ask you, we urge you to go and take one or two, a few, and with prayer, talk to someone. Share with someone this loving God that has nourished you, that has saved you, right, that has showered you with all His love. Right, may you be an ambassador for Him this new week, this new year, this new decade that God has placed before us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in granting to us understanding of our origin, that You have placed us here upon planet Earth, that we may enjoy this fellowship with You. O God, help us to meditate upon Your love for us, Your goodness toward us, and may it cause us to love Thee more and more, and help us, Lord, to share this love to the people around us, those who are hurting, those who are not well. Lord, may Thou strengthen and use Thy people to be instruments of care, of encouragement, of mercy. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.